Canadian states have seceded.
The United States Army ramps up activity.
The White House issued warnings to the Western forces as well as the Florida Alliance.
The three-term president assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Let me know if you want to try anything on.
Are you guys aware there's like a pretty huge civil war going on all across America?
We just try to stay out. With what we see on the news, seems like it's for the best.
Citizens of America,
the so-called Western forces of Texas and California
have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
We're moving to D.C. today.
We need to go down there.
They shoot journalists on sight in the Capitol. Every instinct in me says this is death.
Bloody.
Every time I survived the war zone, I thought I was sending a warning home. Don't do this. But here we are.
There's some kind of misunderstanding here.
What?
Well, you're American, okay?
Okay. What kind of American are you?
First things first, we have to talk about it because we recently watched The Lion King together, and we made a huge mistake when talking about it during the Devil Wears Prada, didn't we?
Yeah.
So, we went on like a rant about how cool it would be to see how Mufasa became the Lion King over Scar, because Scar's the older brother. This is not true. This is simply not true. We completely made that up.
Scar's the younger brother.
Scar is the younger brother. Like 10 minutes into The Lion King, Scar literally says, oh, hey, older brother, or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I looked at Cass, I was like, we fucked up with that, bro. We have to address that.
Yeah, I think it's because we obviously like watched it a lot as kids. And like, as kids, you're just looking at it as like, you may have not even heard him say like, oh, hey, big brother. Because Scar just looks worn down.
He looks beaten.
Ragged.
Oh, he does. He looks torn apart. Especially with, like, the scar. He's living under a rock. You know, he's eating mice. It's, like, just awful, bro. Also, haven't seen it in, like, a few years. Like, actually watched it. Because you and I have put it on in the background before when we're doing stuff. Just because it's, like, when they get to the musical numbers, it's fun. But we've never, like, sat down and actually watched The Lion King in years. I mean, it was probably pre-COVID the last time I watched it, which was like 4 years ago at this point. So I have to be like, that's on me. I should have known that Mufasa is the older brother. But also I'm like, that's not on me. I haven't seen the movie in like 5 years.
I think I've always thought that Scar was older. Always.
It's just something about how like tortured he is. Where I'm just like, he's got to have gone through so much shit before Mufasa was even around.
Right. And it just makes me feel like maybe they chose Mufasa to be king because he was the stronger of the two brothers. Like,
yeah.
It didn't matter that he was younger, but he's actually older.
But yeah, I wanted to just quickly address that and say, wow, we're stupid assholes for coming on here and being like, Mufasa's the younger one. Let's see how he usurped Scar. It's the other way around, my guy.
Right?
Scar just wanted to be king, but he can't because he's the younger brother.
But no one commented on that, so I wonder if everyone thinks that Scar was older.
Yeah, we probably told a lot of people a lie and they were like, yeah, that's fine. Totally, I believe it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, so just wanted to, you know, get that out there. But there's one other thing I want to talk about before we dive into our trailer game, because it's back. We have seen new trailers we haven't seen together in the theater, which is awesome. But first, I want to talk about AI images. This has been a huge hot topic for about a year now. The strike that happened last year, a lot of the concerns was over AI. Late Night with the Devil is a movie that we recently just watched. Mm-hmm. And it uses AI images in the movie. Netflix has a documentary out called What Jennifer Did. They use AI images in that. And A24, one of the biggest independent distributors in the world, used AI images to create posters for this movie. So I wanted to ask you, someone who doesn't care about film in that way, someone who's not like part of the film world, you pay attention when I ask you to, but other than that, you're like, I've got other things that I'm into. This isn't like my identity. How does AI imaging, how does that affect you in any way? Do you care at all? What's your stance on it?
Yeah, so I'm probably going to get a lot of backlash for this. And while I completely understand creating AI-generated posters, images, it takes away people's jobs. Terrible. I don't think they should be doing it. Is it going to prevent me from watching a movie? No. I feel terrible that it's happening, but I didn't know, watching this movie, that there were AI-generated images.
So, there were a lot of people who loved Late Night with the Devil when it came out, raved about it, talked about how amazing it is. Right. Horror movie of the year. And then one person, two people, three people, four people suddenly started being like, AI images were used in the movie. Then everybody who was raving and ranting about how great it was took a complete turn and they were like, yeah, don't watch this movie. You can't support anything with AI images. You didn't know. So I have to say, like, if you didn't know it was AI images when you were talking about it, it doesn't make it okay to use AI images, but it does mean, like, you couldn't really tell until someone pointed it out.
Right. Also, I don't think it's fair to completely bash a movie. Like, those actors that are in this movie and that have worked so hard to create this movie, it wasn't their choice.
I actually want to get into this real quick.
AI-generated images. So don't tear down the movie if you thought it was good just because of this, because these actors put in a lot of hard work and it wasn't their decision.
That's the fear, though, is that we get into an area where AI can manipulate acting. Like, I cannot remember the name of the company. There is an AI software, though, that you can use today. Type in a prompt and it will make you an AI-generated movie. And that's where the fear comes into play, is if that gets too powerful and people use it too much. And, I mean, we're letting it slide with this. It's where does the buck stop? You know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's the concern, is that eventually it could lead to actors being replaced with AI and having their voices used by AI.
Right. And I understand that. But I feel like using AI to generate a poster is a lot different than using AI to replace an actor. Like, it's a whole leap, skip, and a jump.
So, I'm going to disagree on the point that this is A24 we're talking about. They have always been on the forefront of making sure things stay in the creator's hands. And always, like, as soon as the SAG-AFTRA demands came out, they signed it. And they were like, we're good to go. It's fine with us. It hurts when they're using AI generated images. When Netflix does it, I expect it from Netflix. They're a huge corporation that is just like pumping shit out endlessly. It makes sense that they're going to take a shortcut. Do I think it's okay? No, they shouldn't be taking those shortcuts, but they are. I expect it. And it's noticeably bad. You know what I mean? With A24, dude, it's horrendous. It hurts because they're on the forefront of independent films and you are taking jobs away from independent people who depend on making posters or making trailers, and instead they're using this AI technology to do it for them. And that like, especially with A24, I just can't get behind that.
Yeah.
And the posters for this, when A24 had the posters for the Civil War movie that were AI generated, they look awful. They're horrendous. I don't know if you've seen them. I tried to show them to you, but we were in the middle of a conversation, I think, so it like kind of got pushed to the back burner. But they just look terrible. Terrible. Someone could have absolutely done better. With smaller independent movies like Late Night with the Devil, I do have to say I'm not like disturbed by the fact that they used AI images to make those little, it's just like a quick little 3 seconds. We'll be right back.
Right.
But they are riddled throughout the whole movie. I get that. But it's more like, where's the buck stop?
Yeah,
and that's the only reason I want to talk about this, is because it's the only reason it came up is because it literally, right after we watched this movie, they fucking came out with all those posters, which, if you're going to do that, why do it after the movie's released? The movie's already out in theaters and they're like, look at these cool posters we just made. It's like, nah, man, come on. You should have been doing this forever ago.
Yeah.
But they wanted people to probably get in there, see it, and then, you know, I get it. But I just wanted your quick thoughts on AI. Like I said earlier, we have the return of the trailer game for the first time when it feels like forever. And that is because the theater down the road from us is fantastic. They are awesome. They do 3 trailers for every movie, and then they are into the movie immediately. It's fantastic. But that does sacrifice the trailer game a little bit, because we see the same trailers over and over again. How many times have we seen the trailer for Fall Guy and If?
A lot.
I'm starting to not want to see those fucking movies because I'm seeing the trailer every time I go.
It's like Renfield all over again.
There's going to be one movie every year that I just like, my stomach turns on it because of how often I'm seeing the trailer. And coming up right behind that is The Strangers Chapter 1. That trailer I've seen too many times already because they put it before every horror movie. And I'm a horror movie guy, so every time I go to the theater and see a horror movie, it's fucking there. And I'm like, I don't give a shit anymore. Mm. But we have two trailers we want to talk about. The first one, I am very excited to hear your opinion on because I showed you a quick little soundbite from the movie and asked your opinion on it. It is Back to Black, the Amy Winehouse movie.
See, I feel like we've talked about these musician revival documentaries type movies.
Biopics.
A lot. And I'm indifferent to them. I just don't care.
So you're a pass on this.
But I might watch it because the video clips you showed me. So they're not using Amy Winehouse's singing voice.
Makes no sense. It's right there for you.
They're having the character actually sing. And it's just, you can't compare it to Amy Winehouse.
You can't compare, one, I'm not a huge Amy Winehouse fan, but you can't compare that woman to Amy Winehouse. Amy Winehouse's voice is incredibly unique.
Yeah.
Like, it is so different. Like, the woman singing the Amy Winehouse songs sounds like she's mocking her rather than trying to actually channel her.
Yeah.
And it sounds awful. It just does. And that's coming from someone who, I couldn't name one song by Amy Winehouse. Mm. But I've heard her voice. I know what she sounds like. And that woman, it just sounds like she's doing a terrible, terrible SNL type impression of her.
And it's like, why create this movie and then dishonor her in that way by having this terrible person
sing? Where was her family to be like, hey, this is atrocious. Just use her voice.
Right.
Have her sing it. Like in Priscilla, when Jacob Elordi is supposed to be singing Elvis Presley songs, they just pan away from him and they pan around the people in the room and it's just Elvis Presley's voice. Like, he's actually singing. It's not fucking Jacob Elordi, you know what I mean? So I don't get why they're dishonoring her like that. This is a complete pass on my part. Yeah. Like I said, not a huge fan of Amy Winehouse. I don't love the musician biopic movies anyway, because I'm not like, I don't know enough about the musicians to like want to go see these movies. But I'm sure I'll watch this on streaming.
Yeah.
Kind of like the Bob Marley movie. I'll watch that on streaming.
And I mean, there are some that are really good. I actually really did enjoy the Elvis movie with Austin Butler. I enjoyed
Bohemian Rhapsody was good.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
I did love that.
And wasn't he actually singing?
Rami Malek?
Yeah.
I don't know. I could not answer that off the top of my head.
But Austin Butler was.
Austin Butler did sing, I think.
And
because he can sing, can't he? He's like a Disney kid, so he can sing.
Yeah, and those were really good. But it's like, if someone is so famous for their voice, like Amy Winehouse is, and you just don't have someone to represent that well, then just use Amy Winehouse's voice.
I completely agree. Also, what is it that all these actors can sing, though?
I don't know.
Every actor, you're like, oh, they can sing, too. Great. Fantastic.
Good for them.
It's like, they got all of it. They got all the good shit. They can dance, sing. They have washboard abs.
It makes
you
wonder if anyone could sing if you get vocal lessons.
If you have the time, money, and enough Vaseline.
Anyone can... Vaseline?
But aren't you supposed to, like, gurgle? Oh, wait. What do you... Oh, hot tea and lemon. Isn't it hot tea and lemon juice or something like that? You're supposed to gurgle.
Yeah,
like not Vaseline. Vaseline you don't want to put in your
throat.
Don't
ingest
Vaseline. I feel like
Vaseline,
that's really bad. Okay, yeah. Don't listen to me. I'm also when I told you that Mufasa was the younger brother. Don't listen to anything I say ever.
Vaseline.
The next trailer we had is for a franchise that's near and dear to my heart. You probably don't give a single fuck about it. I'd be shocked if you've ever seen a movie in this franchise, but it is Alien Romulus.
Yeah, I don't care. I have never seen an Alien movie.
That breaks my heart because the 45th anniversary of Alien releasing is this coming week.
Mm.
So,
and I know you've seen all of them. I remember blatantly you telling me, I think we weren't living together at the time.
No, it was when COVID first started.
And
I bought all of the Alien movies in a like bundle pack and I was like watching them and you were like, yeah, I don't care about these movies at all.
Never seen one.
First of all, they're old. They're from like the 70s and the 80s and Cass is like out on anything prior to like 2000. She's trying to dabble in the 90s now, guys.
Yes.
So maybe one day we'll get there. But it's 70s, 80s, so you're out on that. It's aliens. You're kind of out on that unless they're cute little aliens that are trying to like save the world in a Disney movie. Each year, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And,
like Stitch.
Like Stitch, you like that. But other than that, man, these movies are not up your alley at all.
No.
So I get it. But I'm very excited for this movie because Prometheus, I believe, was the last Alien movie. Don't kill me if I'm wrong on that. But even that was just, like, okay. So I am excited to see how this turns out. They can make a million more and I'd watch all of them even if they're bad. So this is absolutely a watch for me. I'm going to watch this the second it comes out. But that's it for the trailers, because the other trailer we got, believe it or not, was Fall Guy.
Yes.
And we've talked about that before. So we're just going to skip over that.
That's a watch for me. Yeah, I mean, that matters.
I'm at this point a 50-50. Starting to hurt. It's starting to hurt, man.
It's Ryan Reynolds. No, it's Ryan Gosling.
How could you dare confuse the Ryans?
Because Ryan Reynolds is in If.
They play back-to-back every movie we go to, bro.
Literally. It's one of the Ryans.
Oh, that's fantastic. So we're going to go ahead and jump into what we're doing and why we're watching it now.
You folks, just looking for gas. Gotta look the fuel permit. No, we're actually just passing through. Can't help, sir.
Sir, if we pay.
I was never gonna give it free.
Over the odds.
What's over the odds?
300 for half a tank and two cans.
300 buys you a sandwich. We got ham or cheese?
300 Canadian.
Okay.
This was my pick this week. I had wanted to watch this movie. I was going to go on my own. And then Cass was like, yeah, you have to go on your own because I don't really want to watch that movie. I don't really know what it is. And I was like, oh, that sucks for you. You shouldn't have said that because now we're going to have to watch it together. Because I think it's fun to watch a movie that you couldn't care less about going into. And getting your opinion on that. So that's why I wanted to pick it for the podcast specifically, because I think it gives me someone who's has expectations and is excited versus someone who was going in blind and couldn't care less.
Yeah, I actually had never heard of this movie and had no clue. I mean, it's called Civil War. You can kind of deduce a little bit what it's about. But like, besides that, I had no clue what it was about.
Imagine like knowing the movie's called Civil War and being like, I wonder what this is about. Well, I mean, we'll get into that quite honestly, because I have some thoughts on that. But that's what we picked and why we picked it. Now, for a quick synopsis, do you want to run down just a real quick synopsis of what the plot is for this movie?
Can I just read it?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
Welcome to the front line.
That's the tagline?
Yeah.
That's actually a mean tagline. I like that a lot.
In the near future, a group of war journalists attempt to survive while reporting the truth as the United States stands on the brink of civil war. Brink?
Yeah, brink of civil war.
It's full-on civil war. You aren't on any brink.
Yeah, full-fledged. And also, read that little that bit right before the ending again.
A group of war journalists attempt to survive while reporting the truth as the United States stands on the brink of civil war.
Reporting the truth. What are they reporting? I want to talk about that later on too, because not a single one of them is reporting anything. Like while we're watching them in the movie, no. They're not doing any of that
shit.
They're
just taking images of so people can see the brutal reality of what's actually going on. People can't turn a blind eye.
Yeah. And the main dude in the film, I cannot remember his name for the life of me.
Joel.
He's wants to interview the president.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the plot.
Which no one has gotten anywhere near the president since the Civil War started.
Yes, the president actually, in fact, has been killing. He's been telling his men to kill any journalists that show up.
Yeah.
So that's why they're like, oh, we got to get the story, because the Western forces are going to take him out on July 4th. They're going to be there. We need to get there before July 4th, get the interview. And they're like, oh, no, you're going to get shot and killed. So that's basically the premise of the movie, is it's a road trip movie, essentially. From point A to point B.
Yeah.
It's essentially a road trip movie embroiled in this, like, pseudo-war movie.
It's a road trip movie that looks like when you're driving down the street in The Walking Dead, but there's no zombies. It's just humans doing terrible acts.
Which is mostly what The Walking Dead is, right? It's humans doing awful things to other humans. The zombies kind of in the background.
Yeah.
All right. So now that we've compared this to Walking Dead, which I didn't enjoy, let's go ahead and jump into our thoughts on Civil War.
What's going on?
Someone in that house. They're stuck. We're stuck.
What do you think they are?
No idea.
Hey. We're press.
Cool.
Before we jump into the characters, because I know that we real quickly want to run down the characters after this, but I wanted to ask you said you went in blind. I went in with a lot of expectations, Now, if I had read the synopsis before going in and stuck to that, I actually probably would have enjoyed this movie more. Spoiler alert for my opinions coming in later. But the trailer made it seem like it was going to be a movie about a civil war. Mm. This is more about the journalists in the Civil War.
Yeah.
Now, if I'd known the synopsis, now that you've read that, it actually makes sense to me. But I went in with these expectations that we were going to see a lot more aspects of the Civil War happening, right, like, and actually watching the war. And... yeah. So I went in with those expectations. I was a little let down. But I'm wondering how you felt going in completely blind and not knowing anything other than that the title of this movie was Civil War.
Yeah. So, I mean, right off the bat, you get introduced to these journalists and you kind of see the way the story's going to go. I'm going to be honest with you. Watching this movie for me was horrid.
Horrid?
I had a very hard time watching this movie just because of fear that, like, this could be the path that we go down coming up on this election. And it's terrifying. It's terrifying to see this.
They were very apolitical. I couldn't tell. That's one thing I want to kind of address is I couldn't tell which forces were which forces.
Right.
Which is the point. They're like, it gets muddled.
Right.
Especially when there's this many forces, because there's the Loyalists, the Florida Alliance, the Western Forces, and then the New Worlds, whatever.
Right.
Four different militaries going to war here. I couldn't tell who the fuck was who.
The scene that I'm talking about in particular is with...
Jesse Plemons. Yeah, fantastic.
Because he straight up just asks each of the characters where they're from, what type of American are they?
Yeah, which is the hardest line in the movie.
Yeah.
We're American. What kind of American? The way he delivers the line, just the cavalier attitude, the fact that he's like, oh, I can't really have to explain to you what's going on. Tell me where you're from. And it's like, whoa, dude.
And then shoots certain people based off where they are from. And that is terrifying. It is terrifying. It was hard to watch. It was so vile and grotesque to see the state of the country as they were driving through it. It just was hard for me to watch. I'm just going to address this. I was very hesitant to talk about this movie on the podcast.
Yes, you were, which I think is fun. I think that makes it more fun. But can I ask if that is sort of the point of the movie, is to make you uncomfortable?
Yeah, it is. And don't you...
So do you give credit to Alex Garland, and does it make you think the movie might be better because it achieved the goal, or do you just not like the way it made you feel?
No, I'm not saying the movie's a bad movie. The movie is a good movie, but it makes you feel sad, disgusted.
Yeah.
Like, it makes you feel major emotions, which is a great movie.
Yeah.
Right? But it's just so disgusting. Like, it just makes you...
makes you uncomfortable.
It makes you so fearful, uncomfortable, and anxious for what could come.
So it was a long car ride home after watching the movie. It's like a 6-minute drive max, and it was silent the whole way back to the house.
I was a little bit mad at him.
Because she was mad that I made her watch this movie. But I also was
But without any notion of what it was going to be.
To be fair, you could have looked it up at any point in time. We had like 5 days when we bought the tickets to watch this movie. But I was a little taken aback by your reaction. You, as soon as it was over, you were like, I didn't like that. Like, I don't want to talk about this movie anymore. I want to be done with this movie. And I was like, wow, it really affected you, which is good. That's the point of the movie. And I have to completely agree with you. It is a vile, there are so many vile, and the word that comes to mind is cavalier moments that are just disgusting. Jesse Plemons dumping bodies into a literal mass grave.
Yeah.
He's covering them in lime, right? Is it lye or lime?
I don't know.
But he's covering them in that shit to break down their bodies. And they're just like one body's stuck at the top. And he's like, ah, you got one stuck at the top. You're going to have to fish that out. It's a human being that they've just massacred.
Yeah. And they're dumping them out of a dump truck.
Out of a dump truck.
Flopping them into this mass grave.
It's horrendous. And like you said, they shoot a guy because he's from Hong Kong. The only reason our main characters essentially get to live is because they're from the Loyalist states, which apparently Jesse Plemons is from. Because if you look at a map of the Loyalist states, it's like all the ones that they had mentioned. So it is very disturbing in its depiction of war, which I think is great. Especially what I found disturbing was the scene when they're talking to the two military guys who are snipers, and they're like looking at the house.
Mm.
And the guy, the Joel, is like, what side are you on? And he's like, whoever's giving me orders. And he's just like so nonchalant about it. And they're like, what side's that guy on? And he's like, I don't know, but he is trying to kill us. So I'm going to try to kill him.
Yeah.
And the guy is just like so nonchalant about having to murder another human being. And he doesn't even know what side of the war he's on. He just knows he's firing at him. So he's firing back.
Right.
And it's just disgusting. And it's hard to watch at times. It's hard to digest at times. But I think that works. I think that's the point, and I appreciated that.
Another scene that was really hard is the guys at the gas station employees that
yes
had strung up people that had tried to loot them.
Yeah, they were looting them. Yeah, they were looting them, and one of the guys who is strung up is like, I was trying to steal bread for my daughter, and yeah. The guy
they who literally strung hung up them was like, by oh, their okay. by their wrists, and just they were dangling for days while as they were torturing them, and that's just like. There's a difference between war and torture.
Not really.
I mean...
To an extent, yes, I get what you're saying. To an extent, yes. Like, these people... The point is that these people are just freeballing it. They're just out here with their guns.
Right, they're not even fighting anything. They're right. just sitting at their gas station.
Right.
Killing people.
Right. I agree with you on that. Like, they're not actually part of the war. They're just dudes with guns waiting for people to fuck right. up so and they have an excuse to shoot someone.
Same thing with Jesse Plemons' character. Like... You can't even tell if he's not actually fighting in the war. Like, he's just killing people. And that's the hard thing about this movie is, like, all of the citizens of America have just started fighting and just killing based on whatever side they're on. And it's not even, like, a civilized thing anymore. It's not even, like, an actual war. Like, everyone is just killing everyone. It's not like you have military forces on one side or the other that are fighting. Like... Everyone is killing everyone, and it's terrifying.
Yeah. I think we got a little off track here, because I just real quickly want to run down the characters.
Yeah.
We have Joel, who we talked about a little bit. He's the guy who wants to interview the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. I hate him. I hate him, hate him, hate him. Every scene he's in, I'm like, get this guy off the screen. I don't think that his acting was all that great, first of all. There were moments where I was like, okay, now I buy it, especially after Sammy's death, who's another character we'll talk about in a minute. That was excruciating to watch. Mm. But his character's so unlikable and so unrelatable that I was like, I kind of hope this dude dies. I wouldn't give a fuck if he did. You know what I mean? Like, it just doesn't matter to me. I think he's a creepy dude. He's got this weird relationship with...
Jesse.
Who's played by Kaylee Spaney, who's in Priscilla. Actually, we just talked about that. Mm-hmm. And I just think he's a swarmy, schlocky fucking... reporter who just thinks he's got actual gravitas and like he matters so much more than he actually does, and it was a little off-putting. Mm. What'd you think of him? Do you like him?
I think I perceived him differently than you. I think that he is a guy that uses lightheartedness and joking around as a coping mechanism. So in certain scenes when you're like, he's just being slimy and weird, like to me that's just him being lighthearted and like a little bit, yes, a little bit flirty, but that's just his personality, and it's his way that he deals with things. And I think he truly is he wants to interview the president because he truly wants to make an impact. Like, he wants...
I think it's more so that he wants to simply get his name. He's like, I want to be the first one to do it, so I can say I'm the first one to interview the president. I think as we go, he kind of changes his gears, because especially with the ending, I think we definitely see that he's changed, which is nice. But I guess I didn't like the performance. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. I also just didn't like the character. So I think a little bit of the performance bled into the character. But like you said, there are moments where I think he shines. And there are moments where he's genuinely funny and it works. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I think he's just obnoxious.
Yeah.
It's very obnoxious. The next character was Lee Smith, played by Kirsten Dunst. The incomparable Kirsten Dunst. She is fantastic. Yes. I love her in everything. Here, I really enjoyed her. I do think, again, sort of like with Joel, she thinks she carries around this weight that she matters so much more. That's something I do want to talk about a little bit. It's a little off-putting, these characters, because they think that they mean so much. And it's like, you are very important, but you are not the end-all be-all of society. And that's what they keep talking about themselves. Like, the whole movie is talking about how amazing we are and how important we are, which you are, to an extent. Calm down a little bit. I think Kirsten Dunst plays this character beautifully. I think she is fantastic in this role. I think her character is the most likable, character that actually has sort of an arc going for her. Because we'll talk about Sammy in a little bit. I don't think there's actually an arc there, but he's really easy to like.
Yeah.
But I do think Kirsten Dunst plays this role well. I think she's a great character. Sort of at the end of her career.
See, I disagree with you again.
You didn't like her?
No, I do like her.
Okay.
But I don't find her being, like, thinking that she's super important. I disagree because I think throughout the entire movie, you're kind of getting a hint that she feels like she's doing all of this. She's taking all these images. She's putting all these images out here, and it's not changing anything. Like, even the most brutal images she's taken where people are like, wow, you're a great photographer. This is a really amazing image you captured. It's not having any impact on stopping the war. It's not serving the purpose she hopes it serves.
Right. I agree with that. And what I'm saying is that, so why does she act like she's like press and her herself and all these people are so important when they know what they're doing isn't making that much of a difference, but they want to carry themselves like they are. That's my issue, is that this whole, and it's not the characters themselves. It's the way the movie's written and directed by Alex Garland, that most of the dialogue these characters have is basically like, we're the press and we mean so much and we're so important to everything, which to an extent is true. It is very true. But like when a civil war like this is happening, I don't understand why these people think that they're the most important people out there.
I think it's because everyone would be able to turn a blind eye and ignore what's going on if the press isn't sharing what's going on.
I think it would be very hard pressed to ignore a civil war that has blown the country into four different
sections. In this movie, they show a town that is literally just ignoring that civil war.
But they're not. Sammy even says, look at the roof, but make it easy. There are snipers literally on the roofs.
Right, but the rest of the citizens, like the little girl, like the teenager working in the shop, is ignored. She's like, oh, we just ignore that it's happening.
Yeah, that's true. You can ignore it, but they still know it's happening, but they are ignoring it. But there's snipers on their roofs. So how much are they actually ignoring it? You know what I mean? They're ignoring it to an extent. They're like, yeah, we're not actively fighting. Life is normal here. But I would like to know also how the fuck that town is able to stay completely normal and have like a normal commerce when most of the country is blown to shit.
Right.
Like most of this, like they drive through a JCPenney and there are Blackhawks and like helicopters and planes crashed in the middle of the fucking parking lot. I'm like, how is any citizen in the country having a normal day-to-day routine when this is happening? You're not. And I would have liked to see how that town even functions like that, other than being like, we just ignore it. We just ignore the whole thing.
Right, because you do have to think, like, how are they getting their...
anything.
Their food? How are they getting their power? Like, how are they getting all these things?
How do they have money to buy dresses and hats at right. that at the clothing store? It makes no sense.
Where are they getting the clothes?
Where are they getting the clothes? Like, who's manufacturing this shit? It just doesn't make... that part doesn't make any sense to me. But I do think that even when they're like, oh, we're staying out of it, you're really not, because your snipers are literally on the roofs of every building and they're watching the reporters as they go. Because Sammy's like, look over there, make it discreet. And they're literally on the roof with guns staring at them. You know what I mean? So to an extent, they're ignoring it. But they're like ready to fight if it has to happen. You know what I mean? So it's like, how much can you actually ignore it? I don't want to make it sound like the press is unimportant. I feel like I'm bashing the press and you're trying to stand up for the press, which is not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is just that it's the way Alex Garland presents the press in this movie mm-hmm. that's a little like, okay, take a deep breath here, people. Like, calm down a little bit.
Right.
It's a little excessive. The next character I want to talk about is Sammy, mainly because he's one of my favorite characters. He's just an old, out-of-shape guy. He's got one last hurrah in him. He wants to go to DC to be on the front lines. He doesn't care if he dies. He's like, just get me there, man. Please, I'm begging you. And just, that's it. That's Sammy. He's just around. He has a fatherly type relationship we get with Lee, mm-hmm. Which I don't know how well that worked. It was fine. I think they could have spent more time together and used Sammy a little better. I just think he's a fine character. You just kind of like him right off the bat because he's just an old dude who's like yeah. got grit, and you're like, yeah, I like this guy. He's fun.
I really liked Sammy. I think that, as you said, he wanted to make it to the front lines. He wanted to, because I think I got the vibe that he taught Lee
really
how to be.
He sort of mentored Lee for sure.
Mentored Lee to be a photojournalist, and he just didn't want to be left behind, man. Yeah. He's like, they're going, I'm going. I've got to see this for myself, too. Unfortunately, he doesn't make it there.
How bad? Did his death affect you?
Yeah.
It hurt me.
Yeah.
It did hurt me. Because it's like you said, just wanted to get there, man. Mm-hmm. He didn't care what happened to him. He just wanted to get to the front lines and see it happen.
And he didn't make it there because...
Jesse Plemons. God damn it.
Stupid decisions. When he literally was like, I can sense it. It's a bad feeling. Something bad's going to happen. I can sense it. And so he stayed behind and they went in and were talking to Jesse Plemons and he started killing all of them. And then Sammy had to save the day and Sammy got shot.
Yep. Sammy ran Jesse Plemons over with his truck.
Yep.
And the guy who's in the dumpster, the dump truck dumping the bodies out. Got out, grabbed a gun, and started firing at their getaway vehicle, basically, and got Sammy in the fucking lung. It sucked. It sucked watching him go. But it was an effective death.
Yeah.
Because I like Sammy. He's easy to like. And when he dies, you're like, fuck, man. You didn't even make it to the end.
Right.
So that hurt. But, I mean, there's not much to this character, if I'm being honest. And then the last character I wanted to talk about was Kaylee Spaney's character.
Mm-hmm.
His name I cannot remember. Jesse. Just the Lee Smith young. She's literally just wants to be Lee Smith.
Yeah, she's idolizing Lee Smith, Kirsten Dunst's character. I had a little bit of a hard time with her character.
Okay, let's get into it. I'm excited.
Because she's the reason they got in a lot of danger in this. The only reason Sammy's dead is because she wanted to be a little hot shot. She was just trying so hard to prove herself that it just came across as, like, annoying.
Yeah.
Like, you're just being annoying at this point. You're a child.
What's weird is that she's 23, but she looks like she's 15.
Right.
That's what makes me uncomfortable with Joel.
Oh, yeah.
Is that this girl looks like she's 15.
Yeah.
Which was a little uncomfortable. And he also was like, he insinuates, he's like, we could stay up together. And she's like, no thanks. Which I was happy she said no thanks. But I agree with you. Very try hard.
Yeah, she's just trying too hard. She wants to be too cool. She wants to prove herself to Lee so badly that she's just like...
Putting everyone, including herself, in danger. Putting
everyone at risk. And it's just annoying to watch. And I understand she wants to be the next big thing like Lee was. And she wants to take over or follow in her footsteps. But like... You gotta stop trying so hard because it just makes you come across as annoying.
No, I completely agree because...
Especially in this situation where, like, people's lives are at stake and you're just, like, along for the ride.
And she's also
messing shit up.
She's also very naive because when she goes off with that guy to watch to see the bodies hanging, those people we talked about strung up earlier, the guy literally says, yeah, it's up to you. You can kill him now or I can take him down, beat him for a few more days, hang him up and let him go in 3 or 4 days. Up to you. If she had been alone and Kirsten Dunst hadn't shown up, what was she going to do? She couldn't even control herself. She was so emotional. And Kirsten Dunst comes down. She's like, let me get a picture of you with these people strung up. And gets her out of the situation basically by saying like, sweet talking this dude and being like, oh, let me get a picture of you. Bang, looks great. Let's go. Right. And then, you know, we get the whole scene where Lee is like, you need to control yourself. You can't have emotions in these situations. We're here to photograph. And then I did like her character to an extent because she was pushing the envelope of like, when do we get involved? When do we say something? When do we help stop the atrocities happening? And Lee is basically like, we don't. Like, we take pictures and whatever happens, happens.
Right.
The best we can do is use it as a warning for other people. I appreciated her pushing back on that and being like, so when do we step in? And then Lee is basically telling her, shut your emotions off because you can't have them.
Right. Because her emotions and her drive to be cool is what leads to two characters' death. She is the reason for Sammy's death. And Lee's death, the main character's death, because she's trying to be a freaking hotshot. And she that's just annoying to me.
I agree 100%. The ending, let's talk about that now. We've talked about the characters. I do want to talk about the ending because I truly believe this is an immaculate depiction of tension and just getting on that nerve that just like makes you sit there with clammy hands and you're just on the edge of your seat because you're like, I am so uncomfortable. I don't know what's going to happen. And it's just, it's a wonderful buildup from Alex Garland. I appreciate that. Because as we go, the events taking place ramp up until we're finally at the assassination of the president. They're going to kill him. And Kaylee Spaney's character, what's her name? Jesse. They're in the White House.
Yeah.
And she just, there's a man coming around the corner and everyone knows he's coming, including Jesse. And she steps out to get the picture. She wants the shot of the man pointing his gun. He's going to mow her down.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't give a fuck. And it's like, what are you doing? That doesn't even make sense. You're putting yourself in harm's way after this whole movie, you've basically been so scared to do anything. You finally get the big moment, and you're just so gung-ho about it, you're going to kill yourself, essentially.
Right. So
leading to Lee Smith's death.
Right. So picture the scene as, like, you know, in, like, all those movies where, like, it's a shootout going on and people are tucked behind the corners and every once in a while someone pokes their head out and tries to shoot at the other people. That's what's happening. So the press, Lee, Jesse, and Joel are... they're literally moving through the White House with this military force to get to the president.
Which is also... So much pressure on the military force, by the way.
And getting in the way the entire time.
How many times were they grabbing them and slamming them to the ground and being like, stay down or you're on me. And they're like holding them back. And I'm like, you're going to get someone killed, bro. Why are you here?
Right. Like these, I was like, I literally said, I would be so pissed if I was these military people that are having to babysit these freaking reporters, this press. They're like, they're literally pulling them out of harm's way constantly. And it's like, I would be so frustrated if that was me.
And they have a game plan going into this. They know what they're trying to do, and they have to protect each other and themselves to get to the end goal. And then you throw in these three random strangers who don't know what is going on. They don't know what's supposed to happen here. And they're just willy-nilly popping their heads up every 5 seconds and walking around like nothing's going on.
Right.
Getting slammed to the ground and thrown around. And you're like, you're fucking everything up, dude.
Right.
It's a wonder Lee's the only one who died.
You're taking their sole focus away from the mission at hand.
Right.
Because they're having to protect you and pull you out of harm's way because you keep sticking your head out and doing stupid shit. And that's exactly what Jesse does. She literally, they're in this shootout with trying to get to the president, and she wants to get this shot. And so she literally steps into the middle of the doorway, like not even like peeking her head around, full body, middle of the doorway where these people are shooting at them.
Mm-hmm.
And Lee jumps in the way and saves her, and Lee gets shot to shit.
And that's it.
And then Lee's dead. Then they literally leave her laying there to go to the president. And it's just like, why did she, like, it? That was the only part that, not the only part, but like that part bothered me immensely about this movie, because that was just fucking stupid.
It was so dumb, yeah.
Like, why would she think, oh, I'm just going to step out right into the middle of this doorway to get this shot?
Mm.
No, you're not going to do that. It's stupid. And it just made me irrationally angry, because it'd be different if I feel like they should have killed Lee in a better way. Like, I can understand, like, she can still, like, get in the way of Jesse getting shot, but not when Jesse's standing in such a blatant
it's spot. Such a, yeah, and it's also kind of like, would that ever actually, like, I am not a photographic journalist, I don't know, but like, to stand, like, you know, someone's coming around the corner with a gun, people are telling you to stay out of the way, and you literally run into harm's way purposefully
because
you get the shot. I don't get that, if that would ever actually happen, if someone's like, I'm gonna stand in front of this dude with a gun,
right,
knowing also, he's coming.
Were they wearing their Kevlar vests?
No.
Why?
They were just wearing they were wearing things that said press on it. Maybe they were Kevlar, I don't know. But Jesse went down, or Lee went down with one hit to the back, so I'm assuming not.
Right. So why are you doing your final burst of this mission after Lee has literally said to Jesse multiple times, always wear your helmet and your Kevlar?
Mm.
Why are you not wearing... None of them are wearing helmets or Kevlar.
Right.
Why? Yeah.
But I want to push forward onto the actual ending of the movie where they capture the president.
Yeah.
And he's on the ground. They got Nick Offerman, who's playing the president, on the ground. They got guns pointed at him. And Joel says, hold on one second. I want to get the interview. I want to get the interview. I roll. And so everyone's kind of like, all right, you can talk to him.
He wants a statement.
And so the president goes, don't let them kill me. And Joel says, that'll make a perfect quote. And then that's the end. And he gives the okay, and they start firing and killing the president. Hate it.
Yeah.
That's not a good quote.
No, it won't do.
I think it's not even the quote that bothers me, because that sort of shows that Joel has come to understand that it makes me realize that Joel probably understands now that getting the interview is like the least important thing that's happening right now.
But at this point, he's like, Sammy died for this. Lee died for this. I got to get at least one sentence quote.
Yeah, that's exactly. I think that's exactly what it was. He's like, I put so much on the line for this,
right,
and I'm finally getting my position, my chance. And it's like, I think he's so worn down, and he has understanding the loss that he has taken, and that they're gonna kill this guy no matter what. So it doesn't really matter what he says.
Right.
The reason I don't like it is because it just ends That is it. It's Jesse's there. She takes the picture of them shooting the president and then fade to black credits. Mm. I hated it. I don't know how I would have expected this to end. I don't know how I would have ended it better. All I know is I did not like that ending.
Right, but like, what comes after killing the president? Does the war end? Is the war over?
I would assume that at least the war with that section, maybe, but there are still three other forces coming for you.
Right, they all want to be everyone.
Yeah, they all want to be the United States, the leader of the United States. Like, the movie doesn't end there, and that's kind of what bothers me, is because the situation would not end just because the president's dead.
Right.
And that's why I don't know how I would have ended the movie. I'm not a writer, obviously. I don't make movies, so I don't know how I would have ended it, but I just know that didn't work for me. Yeah. It didn't work for me. I think this movie is very polarizing. In that sense, because I've seen people that are talking about how amazing this is, and it's a perfect depiction of, like, wartime journalism. And I've heard other people be like, this is dog piss. Don't watch this movie. It is awful. I will say, I think it did a good job of staying apolitical. It never took a side of, hey, it was smart to use four different forces instead of saying Republicans, Democrats.
People,
I appreciated that. So, I appreciated the apolitical stance, and I know a lot of people actually did not appreciate that.
People in the reviews hated. They thought it was a weak choice that they didn't, they made it make so apolitical and they didn't make a stance for the movie.
Journalists should be apolitical though. And we're following journalists.
Exactly.
You shouldn't have an agenda as a journalist. And I think that is why I think it's a smart choice.
Yeah. Obviously I do these like forces. That idea that it was apolitical because journalists just kind of have to report.
They should.
From a biased.
Yes.
From an unbiased view.
Yeah. An unbiased view. And I think I do think it's a smart decision. I understand what other people are saying though, because a lot of people are saying this is a movie that thinks it has more bite than it does.
Yeah.
And I get that. I completely agree. But it's also now, not having seen the movie, the trailer was a misleading. I thought the trailer meant something else versus what we got. I think I was hoping to see an actual civil war where we saw different sides of the war, and instead we followed these journalists, which I don't know how you'd make that movie in under 2 hours. If you did have an actual civil war in the United States, it'd have to be probably a TV series.
But that is a complaint, is like how vague they make these different sides. Like,
yes,
I understand like California and Texas have broken off from the United States.
California and Texas are the Western forces. They're the ones that actually take out the president.
Which people were saying, what the heck did the president have to do to make California and Texas join forces?
I have this. Are you ready?
Yes.
I wrote down some things that happened that led to this, because I actually thought it was smart of Alex Garland not to dive too deep into how this happened. Mm. I know a lot of people were upset at, oh, we didn't get a chance to see why all these countries, all these states seceded and wanted to become their own countries. I wrote down two things that I think were massive, that led to three things that Matt led to the secession of all these states, right? Mm-hmm. The first one being that the president of the United States actually used military strikes on its own soil. Like, he went out of his way to strike down citizens prior to the Civil War.
For what reason?
They did not explain. See? That's what I'm talking about. So we get that, but it's very vague. Why did he do it? When did he do it? You know what I mean? We just know that it happened prior to what we're seeing and prior to the Civil War.
Right.
Prior to the Civil War, he disbanded the FBI. He got rid of it completely. Mm. A lot of people would not be okay with that, I'm sure. Why did he disband it? I don't know. Not explained.
Right.
How did he disband it? Like, there's got to be some checks and balances to keep that from happening. Doesn't explain it. And then the third reason is, he actually stayed president for a third term. Mm-hmm. He refused to leave office, claimed he was president for a third term, and it's not explained how that happened, why that happened, what happened to Congress, all that shit. Nothing is explained, but we do get those three vague mentionings where you're like, okay, I appreciate that we're not delving too deep, because I think delving too deep would make the movie too long and bloat it. You'd have a little bit too much exposition going on there, where I think this was neat and concise exposition to let you know, vaguely, this is what happened. I can understand how that pisses a lot of people off, though, because to get Texas and California on the same side of a war, you have to do some major shit.
Right.
So I understand why people are upset. I do understand. But I'm of the camp that it worked for me. That part at least worked for me. I also liked the little inconveniences to the major inconveniences, obviously. When they're lined up for water at the beginning of the movie, and they can't get enough water, and there's this riot between the military and the citizens, and then this, I'm assuming, loyalist suicide bomber, she's like got an American flag with her, and she runs into the crowd screaming the national anthem. Mm-hmm. And Lee Smith knows exactly what's happening, so she grabs Jesse and like pulls her down, and she's like, "Get out of the way." That part was disturbing. I had goosebumps during that scene because I was like, "This is just so scary watching that happen." Big inconveniences like that. I thought that was fun. I appreciated seeing that, sort of how life would be if that were to happen. The highways are blocked completely. They're driving off road most of the time. Mm-hmm. I also appreciate the little things, like when the hotel manager telling Lee she's going up to a room at the beginning of the movie and she's taking the elevator to the 10th floor. And the hotel manager says, "Ma'am, just know if you take the elevators, you might experience some delays because we do lose power quite often." And he's like, "We do offer the stairs over here." And he's being so condescendingly polite. Mm-hmm. And Lee's like, "I'm on the 10th floor." And he says, "Again, we offer you the stairs over here." And I was like, I want to see that. The little shit too. Is like, you don't realize these small things, such as elevators. Electricity is a massive thing, but it powers everything. It's mm-hmm. so like these little things. Like, you're not getting fucking, you're not taking the elevator. You're not going to watch a movie in a movie theater. Like, all of that is gone because the infrastructure is gone. And so I appreciated these little things that led to these huge inconveniences for people.
Right.
I loved that that was snaked in there in such a fun way that you barely even noticed it. But it just captured my attention to really let me know we are actually, it felt real. Like, it felt like we were really in a civil war happening.
Right, because things are actually happening to people that aren't even fighting.
Exactly. It's affecting people now. That's why I do find that town we talked about earlier a little off-putting, where it's like, we just ignore it.
Yeah.
Which I guess is a stance that's on people point. Who ignore like news in general. They're yeah. like, "I just don't pay attention." But even though they aren't ignoring it because they have snipers. So it's a little confusing. That part's a little confusing. But I think it's handled really well by Alex Garland for sure. Did you have any other things you want to talk about?
No.
So we're going to move on to our ratings portions.
I didn't take a single photo. I didn't even remember I had cameras on me. Like, oh my God. Like, why didn't I just tell him not to shoot them?
They're probably going
to
kill them anyway.
How do you know?
He doesn't know, but that's besides the point. Once you start asking yourself those questions, you can't stop. So we don't ask. We record so other people ask. You want to be a journalist? That's the job.
Hey, Lee.
What?
Back off.
What am I saying that's wrong?
I'm not saying it's wrong. She's just shook up.
Lee doesn't understand shook up.
Whoa. I'm not being protective of her. You're the idiot who let her in this car.
I'm going to let you tell me what your rating for this movie is first. Because I think you're going to have an easier time grading this movie than I am.
Yeah. See, it is like a little bit hard for me because while this movie, I think, is a good movie, it's so hard to watch.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
When you're rating a movie, do you base it on
nothing?
But do you base it on how it made you feel? Like, do you base it on how entertaining it was to you? Not, oh, this is done really well, but I didn't like it, so I'm going to give it a 4 just because it's done well, but I don't actually enjoy the movie.
No, I do it on my enjoyment.
I do too. So when I say like a movie's a 4, it's based purely on enjoyment, not the direction, not the acting, not the effects, not the production design, not how it made me feel, just how much I was entertained right. by a movie. I always wondered what you're like basing it on.
And I didn't enjoy watching this movie.
Yeah. But you would never rewatch this, you think?
No. No, I wouldn't rewatch it. So I'm probably going to give it 2.5.
2.5.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is definitely lower than the average. But for me, it's just like, I don't want to watch movies that make me upset in this way or make me scared. Like, this is a scare. This to me is a horror movie.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
This is a horror movie. This is more scary to me than real horror movies because this could happen.
Mm. And it would detriment the entire world. Right. Like, you know what I mean? And this has real life consequences.
Like, this could happen. Like, our country is honestly headed in a direction where this is not an unforeseeable thing.
I think that's why Alex Garland wanted to make this. I think it is a warning of like, hey.
Right.
Play nice. Let's be careful
and
here.
So this is not a movie I enjoyed watching.
And that is fair as fair gets. It, like, I think people see scores for movies and they're like, why didn't you like this? And it's like, or they're like, oh, this is so well directed and the acting's great. How'd you not like it? Right. And it's like, because I just didn't like the movie.
Right. It's not that it's a bad movie. It.
Exactly.
It's in no way a bad movie.
Exactly. A movie can be good and me not like it.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. Like, I don't have to like every movie. You don't have to like every movie. I will say I disagree on the score. I'm going to give this a 3.5. Mm. I originally battled between a 4 and a 3.5 and a 3. I was like, where do I go from here? Because I really battled with this. Because on one hand, it achieved its goal. It made me uncomfortable. I think it was a fair warning shot. They were like, hey, be careful. But there's also so much I didn't enjoy. And that's what I'm basing movies off of, is how much I enjoy a movie. And I didn't enjoy this as much as I thought I was going to. I didn't enjoy this as much as most people. So I'm going to give it a 3.5. Mm-hmm. I think Alex Garland's direction is wonderful. I think that the people who made the trailer were a bit misleading. And I think it did the movie a disservice. Mm-hmm. I also feel like the movie's underdeveloped in a lot of places and is intentionally left vague in a lot of places, which can also damage it. But to me, it works just fine. So 3.5. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to guess the Letterboxd score because I know what it is. I looked it up because I was so...
torn.
It's a 3.8, right?
It's a 3.7 now.
Oh, it's gone down. Okay. Yeah. It was a 3.8 when I saw it. And the reason I saw it is because I wanted to look up reviews. Because I was like, how are other people feeling after watching this? Because this is one of the most anticipated movies of the year. It's in my top 20 most anticipated movies of the year. I was so gung-ho about this. And I felt majorly disappointed. And so I wanted to see what other people were saying. Mm. And I felt like I was in the minority when reading a lot of these reviews. Because I was like, these people loved it. I saw so many people saying 4.5, 5, 4.5. And so I felt like, wow, man, I just don't see it. I don't see a 4.5, a 5 on this. I'm just 3.5 is fair as fair gets in my book.
Right. Are you ready for review time?
Yeah. Give it to me.
My favorite time. Adam gave this a 1-star.
Holy fuck.
And he said, I would really love to just say, not for me, and leave it at that. But goddamn. If you're going to make a movie about a fictional war ripping North America apart, you cannot afford to be this much of a pussy about the politics involved with said war. Pathetic. Zero nuance of any kind. Absolutely no commentary or statements being made on anything. Less substance than the plot of a Call of Duty game. Being apolitical with this material isn't just lame to watch, but it's like the laziest possible way to approach it. Seriously, I've seen Disney movies intended for babies that have more of a backbone when it comes to messaging.
So I don't disagree with a lot of what he's saying. I really don't at all. Mm-hmm. And again, this is what I'm talking about. It comes down to just how much did you enjoy watching the film? And that's why I gave it a 3.5. I don't think he's making any ridiculous claims here. No. I actually don't. The only thing I would disagree with is that staying apolitical, in my opinion, is rather smart, only because journalists are supposed to be unbiased and give an unbiased look at certain things. But I do agree that this movie is a civil war. I would love to have delved into the politics a little bit, even if our main characters aren't political. Right. Let's dive into how the politics of these groups that we run into as we move through the movie, and they're like, what side is this on? What side is this on? Like, let's dive into them.
What are their different beliefs?
Right. Let's dive into those people. And like he said, they don't. They just completely gloss over that,
right,
which I think is a bummer. So I do not disagree with most of what this person is saying.
Yeah. Next, Connor Eats Pants.
Great name. Gave
this a 2.5-star review. They said, somehow this managed to have less political depth than the Captain America Civil War.
I mean, you know what? To be fair, he's not wrong. This person's actually not wrong at all. That is wild.
Then Bert gave this a 3-star. And he said, all right, hands up with who else was annoyed, like mad, that these photojournalists were constantly getting in the way.
Yo, let's go. Let's fucking go, Bert. Hell yeah, I agree.
They're constantly getting in the way of these military people that are just trying to live.
Yes. Yes, 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 Bert. Thank you. And that's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about like taking themselves in such high esteem. It's like... Mm-hmm. You're fucking everything up for these people, dude. Right. You're putting their lives at risk because you're an idiot.
Right. Then we have a 4-star review from George Carmi. And he said, a 2-hour anxiety-inducing trip. A journey through America seen through the eyes of photojournalists captures a relentless civil war. Alex Garland manages to immerse you in this panic-driven setting with stunning shots, torturous sequences, and high production value, while begging you to question the possibilities of a war.
Again, I don't disagree with anything this person is saying that Adam didn't say, you know what I mean? Like, I agree with Adam and I agree with this person. Mm-hmm. That's the wild part, is because this person is not saying anything inaccurate. I think this is such a well-built tension. My palms were sweaty. I was so on edge the whole movie because I was like, like he said, it's torturous. There's so many torturous scenes that you have to sit through for 10, 15 minutes at a time.
Right.
And it's just brutal to watch. The scene with Jesse Plemons is absolutely excruciating. Mm-hmm. Excruciating. And it's like a 15-minute scene.
Yes. This movie was very panic-inducing for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
It made me just uncomfortable the entire movie.
We were holding hands and I had to stop. I literally had to let go. Like, we were holding hands at one point and I had to let go. And I was like, my hands are so clammy and your hands are so clammy that they're just making clam stew down here. And we got to let go because I'm stressing out.
Yeah.
It felt a little like Uncut Gems. What Uncut Gems did for my anxiety, this movie did for, like, my fear of the real world.
That's so funny that you said that, because my next review was a 4.5-star review from Cinema Collect.
And, no shit!
And they said, I haven't been this stressed out since Uncut Gems.
No shit, hell yeah. Yes. So it's actually funny. Cinema Collect and I follow each other on Instagram and on Letterboxd.
Oh wow. I feel that. When we were watching, so we went, and funny story about Uncut Gems, is we went and saw this with our friend Colin.
Hell yeah.
And Colin has a little bit of anxiety.
Yeah, he's got anxiety. We all got anxiety.
And Colin was struggling.
Yeah.
Through Uncut Gems.
I want to ask him if he's watched it since then.
Yeah.
Because I remember talking about that with him, and he said he had a panic attack in the middle of the movie.
Yeah.
He was, like, stressed out, which is fair. That movie's fucking good. Like, you just want him to stop. Like, just stop, Adam, please. I'm begging you. You have so many outs, man.
Right?
Oh, yeah, that movie was... I remember watching it the first time and not liking it. Really? I hated Uncut Gems the first time we watched it. Huh. Hated it. And it's not because it didn't...
Well, I do remember us leaving the theater and Colin being like, oh my god, he's like, that movie gave me a panic attack. Like, that was amazing. And you're like, eh.
Yeah, I thought it was great. I did think at the time, I was like, this is a great attack on my senses, but I don't give a fuck about anything that's happening. I don't care. I couldn't follow, like, the whole betting shit. I was like, I don't know what's going on with that. I have no insight on that. So I just didn't give a shit. The whole Julia Fox thing, didn't care. The Weeknd thing, didn't care. And, I thought the score, while brilliant, loved the score, one of my favorite scores of any movie. I didn't think it fit the movie well.
Yeah.
Then I rewatched it like 2, 3, 4. I've watched it probably 6, 7 times since then. Each time I watch it, I like it more and more and more, which I didn't think was possible. That movie's fantastic. But we're not here to talk about Uncut Gems. We're finishing up a podcast on Civil War, goddammit.
Yes. So my last review is a 5-star review.
Wow, yeah.
From Cameron Kozak. And they said, A24 is in a new era, and I'm all for it. How can I explain the exact emotion I felt while watching this film? Sad, scared, horrified, all three. There's something so fine-tuned about this film that I feel it's gonna stick with me throughout this year. Alex Garland came back swinging hard with this one, a symphony of suspense, action, horror. It's everything and more when it comes to spectacle. Sound design in particular truly grabs a hold of your heart and doesn't give you a moment to breathe. It's intense and mortifying. Ensemble of acting is the best that I've seen this year, and the sheer level of anxiety you feel in this film is nothing short of greatness on a filmmaking aspect. If this is Alex Garland's last directed film, what a way to go out on a high note. This is a masterpiece.
I did hear that Alex Garland is done directing movies. He's going to return to just writing them. He said this movie was made him fall out of love with the art of making a film.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, he wants to just write movies again, which is fair. I do agree this movie attacks the senses relentlessly.
Yeah.
And it is, honestly, a horror movie. Like you said, you even said that. Like, this feels like a horror movie.
Yeah.
But I'm just not a fan of a 5-star for this, so.
No, 5-star is a little bit too much.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that, but.
Yeah.
Well, we did the damn thing.
We did it.
We covered Civil War.
We covered this movie, and I really didn't want to.
Yeah, you really didn't want to. You put off recording this until Saturday morning. We were recording
this,
and I'm putting it out because you're like, I just can't do it.
I did not. When we left that movie, I said, Kyle, I was like, I don't want to do a podcast on this movie. I'm like, this is sad. This is depressing. Like, our podcasts are supposed to be fun and funny.
You said, and I quote, this isn't fun.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's kind of the point. It's not supposed to be fun. Yeah. I was like, but that'll be interesting. We could talk about it. I had to actually sweet talk you into like recording it all. You just kept pushing it off as much as you could.
The only reason we're actually doing this podcast is because he had me watch another movie last night.
Yes, I gave you the option because I knew you really didn't want to do this. So I said we could do this or an unnamed film that we could cover, but you hated that movie. So you're like, yep. I don't want to talk about that either.
I hated that one. So here we are.
If you had to, what would you rate the other movie we watched? Is it lower than this or higher than this?
Lower.
Is it because of the ending sequence?
I just didn't like it at all. I didn't like the movie entirely. 1.5.
Bad. Wild. That's crazy.
Didn't like it.
That actually breaks my heart. Wow.
I didn't like it.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's get out of here because we have to have a private conversation now. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Thank you guys for sticking with us. If you've made it all the way to the end, we appreciate that. Stick with us as we continue to bring you more episodes. Hopefully back on Fridays if I can get a movie that Cass actually wants to watch and talk about. But yeah, like us wherever you can. You can follow me on all my links down below. Don't forget to leave us a rating on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen. That'd be fantastic. And share us whenever you get the chance. And with that said, go watch a fucking movie.